is all I can say about that video, man. I don't know how many times you might have been presented with that circumstance, but I've been presented a lot. And makes me rethink a lot of what I'm doing. This whole talk has made me think about, this whole series has made me rethink a lot of that, because it seems like I constantly find myself face to face with people that, for whatever reason, I don't want to serve, or I don't want to help, or I don't want to be involved with. And I got all kinds of great reasons. At least I think they're great reasons, but in essence, they're really not. So today we're going to look at another one of these gifts. You know, this whole series has been open before Christmas. Obviously, Christmas is now behind us, but quite frankly, I believe that what we're going to be talking about this week and next week still very applicable to the idea of thinking beyond Christmas itself. You know, we shouldn't wait till Christmas to do some of the stuff. And today we're looking at the gift of showing care to those who are in need. And what does that look like? Last week I talked about the idea of showing care to our neighbors and define neighbor as someone, my neighbor is someone who's on my way. When I'm going on my way, And I run across something, you know, I see them every single day. Might be the people to the south of me or the north or across the street from me or whatever it is. Could be someone I work out with at the gym or the same person I see at the gas station when I get my gas, unless I use at the pump. As nice as those conveniences are, and I love those, you know what this caused us to do is to not be connected to people. And I still pay at the pump because it's more convenient. But guess who do you get to talk to when you pay at the pump? The machine? I mean, I do sometimes. Like, I don't know if you ever go to Sam's Club or Costco where they have the gas, and you have to be a member, so you slide your card in there and that. And at Sam's Club, they don't take money, so you either have it on your card or you slide in another form of payment. But then what they do is that they have a big screen on the gas pump, and the big screen shows all kinds of useless things that you may or may not need, and you could go inside. And if you want more information while you're pumping gas, you can look at their storehouse of sales stuff in there, and it's available right inside, you know. Kind of interesting how all that works, but it forces us outside of the box of not talking to people, and it forces us to stay to ourselves. And that's as much as I love those conveniences, man, it's sad because it further isolates and insulates us. But today we're going to talk about those who are in need, kind of like the guy that we saw. You know, and the distinction or the difference of someone is in need is someone who's out of my way, which means I have to go out of my way to actually see them or help them or whatever it is. And if you really think about it, I know it's true for me, and I definitely don't like admitting this, but it's true, you know. Most of the people that I see that are in need are out of my way. And quite frankly, I don't go out of my way than to help them, you know. And I know that there's people in our community here that have very severe needs. I see a lot of it, you know, and it's true. But more times than not, they're out of sight. And if they're out of sight, guess what? They're out of our minds. We don't think about it. And that's what has always bothered me about this time of year between Thanksgiving and Christmas is that it's like the media focuses on stuff like Toys for Tots and food for the hungry and blankets for those who are cold and homeless and living on the streets and all that. But I've always said, what happens in January? What happens in February, March, April, May, June, July, August? Do we forget about it? I mean, and that's the sad part. And I'm as much to blame for that as anyone else. So I'm not pointing fingers. I'm pointing more at myself than anything. And this whole talk here is really a wrestle with myself. A wrestle with myself on the reality of what's happening, and the wrestle with myself and what does God's word say about how I look at and respond to those who are in need. Because if we're really honest, when someone who's normally out of our way gets in our way, when we're on our way, we don't respond in the best way. Do we? No. We don't. I don't. I'm horrible on that because I've got my own way, you know, and my own stuff going on, and it's sad. And as a matter of fact, sometimes we get annoyed and we feel inconvenienced or uncomfortable around them. I don't know how you couldn't look at that video and not feel uncomfortable. I imagine myself that I was the guy in the car. I would have rolled up the windows, locked the doors, and cranked the music up is what I would have done. And then sometimes we get angry when they get in our way. And it's true. And we can easily look down on them and start judging them. Oh, they're a drug addict, or they're this or that or that. I have no clue what's going on in their life. But today I want us to look at the scripture because, you know, quite frankly, we all have our own ideas about all kinds of stuff. But the reality and what centers us is God's word. Because if we start centering ourselves around God's word, that's the truth. And that truth comes to bear on our life and how we act and what we do. And I believe that God has a lot to say about it. And in your outline, or if you brought your Bible with you, you can open it up to that. Matthew chapter 25. We're going to pick it up in verse 34. It reads like this: Then the king will say to those on the right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father. Here is the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your homes. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. I assure you, when you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." What a great scripture, and it's cited so much. And I've taught a lot on this over the years. But Jesus is telling us and reminding us to care for people who have great needs. And if we do that, it's just like we're showing care to him. When we show care to the least of those, his brothers and sisters, we're showing care to him. And if we do that, we'll receive a great reward. Now, we shouldn't do it for the reward, but guess what? We're reward motivated, aren't we? You know, when you ever ask a teenager, you know, "Hey, I need you to do this for me. How much are you going to pay me?" is usually the response. They want the reward. But we're no different. "I want you to do this job. How much? What? You know, how much are you going to pay me for that?" But Jesus, in that list, broke down a couple of categories, really two. The first one was physical needs. I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was naked, and you gave me clothes to wear. And I think we all understand the concept of physical needs because we know what it's like to go without something. All of us, at some point, have had to go without something. Maybe it was a roof over our head. Maybe it was skimping back on the meals. Maybe it was without electricity or phone or even out of our home or whatever it might be for whatever it is. We know what it's like, and we know others that go through it, especially today in this day and age here where we live. And it's important as followers of Jesus to help meet people's physical needs. But the second category that Jesus talked about here are relational needs. "I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me." Now, even less people will start doing that kind of stuff. Because that's where it gets real uncomfortable. I can go to some remote place and meet someone's need. You know, we've taken people to Grace Centers of Hope. We've done a few different things in Detroit to help feed people who are homeless and hurting and need help and are hungry and all that. And the sad thing is that we can go do that for a couple hours, come back, and it's like, "Woohoo, I did my duty to God and my country," and all that other good stuff. But don't ever ask me to invite someone into my home where I have two extra bedrooms. Because now it's getting a little close. I really don't know that person. And I want to challenge you, why? Well, you got it. He says, give it. Because in essence, what Jesus is saying in this list here is that what we should do with people who are in need, people who are needy, is that we're to treat them with dignity. We're to see them the same way that God sees them. Not to treat them as scum of the earth. Not to treat them as people who are messed up and screwed up, but with dignity. And so Jesus is saying it matters to meet physical needs and what you give, and it matters to meet relational needs and how you treat those who are in need and how you look at them and how you view them. But Jesus is saying that caring for needs is the most important thing. And looking at our community here, in Southeast Michigan, Macomb County specifically, The very latest, newest report is in Macomb County. There are 1,142 homeless people. 17% of those are children. And that figure is up over 20% from the last official count in January 2005. 11 people died from homelessness because they froze to death in Macomb County in 2005. So what's God's response to our poverty here and people in need in Macomb County? What's God's response to those who are in need? I'll tell you what God's response is. The answer is you and me and every other believer in Macomb County. We are God's response to people in poverty in Macomb County. You and I as the church, Discover Church, is responsible for responding to the needs of people in Macomb County. And that's what he's called us to. As a matter of fact, in Deuteronomy 15, chapter 15, verse 11, it says, there will always be poor people in the land. There will always be poor people in Macomb County. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed towards your brothers and toward the poor and the needy in the land. To live open-handedly is a sign of generosity. And we have to choose to live that way. Because it doesn't come natural to us. And if you don't think it comes natural, put two-year-olds and one toy in the room and look what happens. Mine! And then a fight erupts. Take your hand like this. Go like this. Make it a fist. Make it a tight fist. This represents closed-handed living. Closed-handed living means that I'm holding on to what I have. What's mine is mine. And I'm not going to give it away because if I give it away, then I no longer have it. And I'll have less. And I don't want to have less in my life. I want to have more. So I'm going to hold on to it with all the strength that I have and can maintain. Now, with your hand closed like that, I want you to try to pick up your Bible with that hand. I want you to try to pick up your message notes. You can't do it. Why? Because it requires that you do this. It requires that you open your hand to be able to do that. The best that we can't even shake hands like this. The best we can do is bump fists with each other. What's up, dog? You see, God wants to bring blessings, new blessings, into our lives in 2008. But a lot of times we're walking around like this and we can't receive a blessing from God with closed hands. We have to open them up. We have to release the things that we've got a hold of and release and let them go so that God can continue to pour into our lives. Parents, if you don't release your kids, they will never grow into the adults that God intended them to be. Husbands and wives, if you don't release each other and allow one another to grow, you will never grow into what God has intended you to be. We have to release. Discover Church. We have to release each other and unleash the church to do what God has called us to do, which is to be the church here in Macomb County and to stop just playing church. And I'm so much guilty of that. And I hate that. But on the flip side of closed-handed living is open-handed living. Open your hands like this. Open your hands. See how much, when you open your hands like this, it's like you're ready to receive something. It's like that two-year-old that comes up to their parent, Mama, Daddy. And when we live open-handedly like that, not only are we able to release what's in our hands, but we're also able to receive that from God's hands to us. Because, see, there's a difference between the world's economy and God's economy. I don't know if you figured that one out yet. The world's economy says, if I give something away, I have less than what I started with. And I bet to some degree we all wrestle with that. I know there's some times when we write our tithe check, I think that. I would never not get of it. But it's in my mind, it's like, dang, I could do this. But God's economy is a little different. See, God's economy realizes that God is the source and his resources are unlimited. That's God's economy. So when I give away and I give away to someone in need and I live selflessly and generously to those around me and I help others in Jesus' name, Not only is God pleased, because God's whole deal, God so loved the world that He gave. He was open-handed. And He wants us to be open-handed with those around us. And when we do that, not only is He pleased, but He also pours blessing back into our life. Because the reality is that Scripture teaches we can't outgive God, ever. So today, what I want us to do is I just want us to focus on just four simple ways that we can show care to those who are in need. And that's really what the outline's about. And the first way is to refuse to ignore needs any longer. I have to put a stop to it. I have to stop the insanity of saying, I don't see it. La, 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 la. I have to take the fingers out of my ears and open my eyes. I have to make eye contact with people who are in need and people who are in my way and make me feel uncomfortable. Because it's easy to ignore the needs of people around us. And no, they won't disappear if we turn our back or turn the corner. Yes, we will get used to it, and then we won't see it any longer because that happens. We become numb to these sort of things when we see it over and over again. It's like the first time, I remember the first time, man, I'll never forget this, seeing what I thought as a young kid, something horrific on television. My parents used to watch the old black and white weekly show called The Fugitive. Some of you remember that. The one-armed man scared the Jesus into me. Because it was like, goodness gracious. And I'll never forget the last show. It was like, this was the last one when they were finally bringing it to a conclusion, the show. And the one-armed man, they were wrestling and all this, and he fell off this tower and died, you know, but there he was with his one arm, and he just, it's like, man. But what's funny is that repeated exposure to horrific things on television desensitizes us to the reality of what's going on. And we wonder why that the generation under us and that the young ones coming up after us are so insensitive. Hello? It's because we've made them that way. The television and media is the babysitter and the teacher and the trainer. And it exactly sears the conscience. And it's sad. It's sad. And so the Scripture is clear that we really need to refuse to ignore needs any longer, because in Proverbs 14 it says this, it's criminal to ignore a neighbor in need, but compassion for the poor, what a blessing. What a blessing. So ignoring it's a crime, it's criminal. That's, man, think about that one. How many criminals do we have in here? You don't need to raise your hands. Because I think it's all of us. But if we're honest, we sometimes more than just ignore people in need, don't we? We look down on them. We dehumanize them. And sadly enough, we can make fun of them. Won't look them in the eye. Won't acknowledge them in our presence. And it's sad and it's painful, but that's typically how we can do. And the Bible says we need to treat the poor with compassion and to show them that they care. We need to treat them as real human beings that matter to God and matter to us. To look them in the eye, to speak to them, to smile at them, to see them the way Jesus sees them. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 5, check out this example of Jesus. Now, this was Jesus. In one of the villages, Jesus met a man with an advanced case of leprosy. Leprosy was a skin disease. And so your skin rotted and just kind of fell off in chunks and layers. Usually like ears, fingers, and toes would fall off first. But people's faces, cheeks would just fall off. And I mean, the smell was horrendous. When the man saw Jesus, he fell to the ground, face down in the dust, begging to be healed. Lord, he said, if you want to, you can make me well again. Jesus reached down and touched the man. I want to, he said, be healed. And instantly, the leprosy disappeared. Jesus showed compassion on someone who was untouchable in his society. But there's one thing that he did. Jesus reached down and touched the man. And the one thing interesting about Jesus, if you looked at how he healed people, he did it a variety of different ways. He didn't need to reach out and touch the man. He could have spoke the word. He healed someone without even being there. He would raise people from the dead. He would speak. He would spit. He would do all kinds of things. And I think he does that mainly for us to say, number one, there's no tried and true one way that it's to be done, because I don't want you to idolize the method of how it's done. I want you to reach out and do something. But in the case of the leper, Jewish law would not allow you to touch. If you touched a leper, you were unclean. And then you had to go make a sacrifice before you could go into the temple. And Jesus wanted to make sure that people understood that you could reach out and touch people because they still mattered to God, even though they had circumstances that were horrible. And he wanted to show that this person was a human and deserving of touch and love. And that's what he did. And so he showed compassion. So we're really, when we look at that example of Jesus, we shouldn't ignore the needs around us. We really shouldn't. We shouldn't dehumanize those who are struggling with stuff. We need to make it a decision to follow Jesus' example, to do the right thing, and to be Jesus to them today, to give them dignity and respect and honor. So how do I show care to those and to the needy in our community? One is refuse to ignore needs. Secondly is to ask what I can do to meet needs. What can I do, God, to meet needs? Because it's one thing to recognize it. It's the second thing to do something about it. How we respond. I talked about that a couple weeks ago. And so this challenges us to make a response. We have to live open-handedly and open our hands to help people. To reach out. So I need to ask, what are the immediate needs as I look? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us a very important but a very difficult command when he says this in Matthew 5. Matthew 5. Jesus said this, give to those who ask and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. I want to say that again. Give to those who ask and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. Give to those who ask. Give to everyone that asks. Don't turn away from those who want to borrow. I mean, when I read that and when I've wrestled through that, is this even possible? Is this something that's really even possible? I mean, how can I possibly do that? To give to everyone who asks. Because if we're honest, if we're really honest and we really took some time to look at that verse, it's made many people, including myself, not only very confused, but also very guilty as well. Because we don't do it. In fact, I remember 11 years ago, my oldest daughter and I, she was 14. We went to Chicago, decided we wanted to go to Chicago, so I took her on a couple-day trip, and we went and shopped the Miracle Mile there. I hate shopping, but she loved it, so I figured it was a great way for us to spend some time together. And we were just having fun, just the two of us. We just come out of the Hard Rock Cafe, you know, and had some lunch. And so we were walking down the side street and going across to go to one of the stores there. And this guy approached us and wanted to clean our tennis shoes for money. You know, he had this cleaner that would make them pearly white, you know. And he wouldn't let up. I mean, this guy would not let up, and I know he wanted, and I know he needed money, and, you know, at first we didn't say anything. I looked at Gwen, and I just said, ignore him. Follow me. It's okay. Everything will be fine. And finally, I said something not real nice to the guy, but it got me out of the situation, but honestly, it didn't make me feel really good, and when I think about it even now, 11 years later, it still doesn't make me feel real good. No, it isn't like I swore at him or anything like that, but you know. But the question is, in light of this scripture, if I meet someone on the street, and if I come across someone who's in need, and they ask me for something, what do I do? I can't possibly give money to everybody that asks me because I don't have that much money. But how do I reconcile that with this verse? How do I reconcile that and what could potentially happen with this? Give to those that ask and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. Well, first of all, I want to say this, that we can't give money to everybody because, again, we just don't have enough. Not only is it not always possible, but It's not always the wisest. I had spent 6-7 years working a lot in Macomb County with people who were in need, not necessarily homeless, but couldn't support their own needs for food and that kind of stuff, and ran a food pantry out of a church. And you know, in the beginning, we had high hopes and did all kinds of great stuff and helped people out with money. And then we found that people tend to abuse the system and all that. And what's funny is that we've seen the same thing happen here. You know, we've had to recently put a policy in place for use of our food pantry and that kind of stuff because of outsiders. You know, and so those who work a lot with those in poverty will tell you that, you know what, it's a risk to give people money, so we don't give them money. We'll do different things. But we can't use that as an excuse not to do anything, and I did for a long time. So what I want to do is, and this isn't even in your notes, but I just want to give you four quick things that we can do in light of this verse to help meet immediate needs of someone. First is we can give money. You know, maybe keep a couple dollars worth of change in our pocket, separate from the rest of our money, that we could just freely give, and it's not going to be a big deal if I give it away. Because I think there's times where God impresses on us to give money to do that and to do that. Listen to the Holy Spirit, because he still speaks today. And I know you know that, but you know what? We don't always listen to him speaking today. Absolutely. So we can do that. Second thing is that you can give food. You know what I do sometimes? When I pack a lunch, I pack some extra food. Because I get people coming in here and wanting a little extra change or whatever. I say, hey, how about a sandwich? Or how about a granola bar or an apple or banana or whatever? And I've done that. Give them something to eat. Meet a tangible need that way. You know? It's a tangible way of meeting hunger. Third is pray. Pray for the person. If you're driving down the street and you see someone curled up on the side of the road, yeah, you could stop, but you know, maybe you don't feel comfortable to pray, because I believe that God's power works through his people and brings his purposes to bear on situations. And it starts when we pray. And then the fourth thing we can do is give time. Give our time. You know, and part of the way that you give time is when your children bring their food offerings into our food pantry. Another way we give time is to help out, you know, when Maggie does an outreach in Detroit. And we help those things and do that. It's giving our time. One of the other ways we do around here is these kindness events, random acts of kindness. And you know, one of the things we're going to do this spring, we're going to give away gasoline. I don't know how we're going to pull it off yet, but we're going to give away gasoline, probably at this gas station right down here, right here on the corner. And I haven't quite got that all figured out yet, but we're going to do that because, you know, we're told that the price of gas is going up. Oh, wait, you probably noticed that. And so we want to try to help out our community. A random act of kindness can show God's blessing in many different ways. As a matter of fact, Philippians 2 reminds us of what our attitude should be like. It says, don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't think only about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and what they are doing. Your attitude should be the same that Christ Jesus had. So how do we show care to those in need? We refuse to ignore needs. We help meet immediate needs. Thirdly, we cooperate with others to meet long-term needs. Cooperate with others. And see, what that means is that we work together. Instead of reinventing the wheel, this is why we partner together, like with Maggie, because she's already doing something in Detroit. And Grace Centers of Hope, because they're already doing something in Pontiac. And that's just here in this area. And then we actually do that out and out and out around the world. China. Do you know that we have missionaries in China now? That we're supporting the spread of the message of Christ, even as far away as there. And that's why it's important to partner with others, to help serving those in need, you know? And so, cooperate with others. When you see opportunities come up, when you hear us say, hey, we're going to do an outreach in Detroit, we've got a sign-up sheet out there by the table in the lobby area, man, help out. Because sometimes we just need food. Other times we need physical bodies to help serve and that kind of stuff. There's all kinds of ways that you can do that. In 2 Corinthians, Paul reminds us, 2 Corinthians 9, as the scriptures say, godly people give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will never be forgotten. Not that our good deeds get us anywhere, because they don't, but they'll never be forgotten. And what Paul, the whole pretense of that particular verse was that Paul was going back to the church in Corinth and asking them to give money. Not their tithe money, because that stayed in the church, but to give over and above the tithe to help the church in Jerusalem that was suffering in severe poverty, so that he could take that money back to help relieve the persecution and the things that they were facing. And so that church did that. And we as a church, we give. We give outside, and we give over and above, and we give all kinds of things. And that's why we've done this thing called a Christmas offering, that today is kind of like the final day for it. You know, that to help those who are struggling and in need right within the walls of Discover Church. And so if helping those in need touches your heart, then prayerfully see what you can do to help out and to be a blessing to someone else, to give to that Christmas offering. A final way that I can show that I care for those who are in need is to focus on eternity. Focus on eternity. Jesus says that whenever we give to those who are in need, what we're doing is something supernatural. We are. Because it has eternal and ongoing impact, spiritual impact. But unfortunately, I don't know about you, but I know for me, I get caught up in my own life and all my own stuff and what I have going on, and I miss the important things many times. We miss the things that matter forever. And that's why the Bible reminds us over and over again not to think in temporary means, not to think in the here and now, not to think until my kids are raised or I reach retirement or whatever it happens to be. But in Colossians chapter 3, it says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. You see, if we're really focusing on eternity, then we're not going to see people in need as being in the way, as an inconvenience, as a bother. Instead, we'd see them as people created in God's image and likeness who are broken and who need help, just like you and me, and who desperately need the love of God shown to them at that moment, and that's where we come in. And if we're really focusing on eternity, we're really not going to worry about opening our hands to release what limited resources we have, but we'll give generously to those who are in need, because we know that God is the source of everything. And if we're really focusing on eternity, we'll see that meeting the needs of the poor isn't just a temporary physical thing, but it's also a spiritual act with eternal implications. We're really storing up treasures in heaven. Like Jesus said in Matthew 6, he said, don't store up treasures on earth where they can be eaten by moths and get rusty and where thieves break in and steal. Instead, store your treasures in heaven where they'll never become moth-eaten or rusty, where they'll be safe from thieves. And so when we do an act of kindness and live open-handedly, that's exactly what we're doing. When we smile and say a kind word to someone, and someone that everyone else is ignoring, or when we give to the Christmas offering, or we help Maggie in Detroit, or when we sacrifice hours to put on a Christmas tale for those who might come, we're making an investment in eternity. Because we're ministering not only to those who are in need in all different places, physical, spiritual, emotional, but we're also ministering to Jesus himself. Look at that black box on the back of your outlines, our memory verse, Matthew 25. I assure you, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you're doing it to me. You're doing it to me. That's a reminder that what we do to others, we're really doing to Jesus. When we ignore the needy, we're ignoring Jesus. We can sing his praises when we gather as the church, but we certainly can ignore him or give him a black eye when we treat others disrespectfully or dehumanize them or not respond to their needs. So here's what I'd like you to do one more time. Hold your hands out in a clenched fist. Just humor me and do this for a second. And let's make a commitment as believers, as individuals, as a church body, that from this point forward, we're not going to live this way anymore, but we're going to live open-handedly. And we're going to give ourselves to those that Jesus puts in our path and puts in our way or makes us go out of the way for. But those, we're going to be generous to those who are in need. Let's pray. Father, there are people in need all around us. And yet as cynical and sarcastic as we can be, we come to you because we lived with our fists clenched, our lives holding on to whatever we got, because someone might take it away. And so, God, we want to open and release. We want to be generous to those who are poor and those who are needy and those who need your help. Help us to live open-handedly, God. Help us to be that example of your Son to them. Help us to be Jesus to them. Help us to be demonstrators of his love. Help us to be generous with what we have. And yet, God, we wrestle with that because we live close-fisted. Give us the strength and the courage to open our hands up and to respond to the circumstances that you present to us even as soon as today. So, Lord Jesus, you are our example. As you reached out and touched the untouchable, help us to touch, to encourage, to speak, to give, to serve, to be you to those in our community who need to know you and who have great need. Help us to be a blessing, God, to those who are in need here in Macomb County and beyond. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.